This is WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo. The Fall Cultural Arts Series at the Purdue Black Cultural Center is set. This year, special focus is on the exploration of Gullah culture. Joining me to talk about this and more is Renee Thomas, director of the Black Cultural Center. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for the invitation, Mike. Glad to be here.
So for those, including myself, who've never heard of it, what is Gullah culture?
Gullah culture is a very distinctive African group culture. What happened in the early 1800s, enslaved Africans came into Charleston, was a major slave port, and many enslaved Africans were able to retain their African identities because they worked on the plantations in the Sea Islands, which were off the coast of South Carolina and continued down into Georgia area. The remoteness of those islands created a very distinguishable and unique culture, and that is the Gullah culture. It's thought that many of these individuals can trace their ancestry back to Angola, and Angola slash Gullah is how it was developed. Many of these enslaved Africans came to the U.S. to work on the plantations there. Rice was a cash crop during that time period on those plantations, as well as indigo and cotton. And they worked those fields because of the isolation of the islands. They did not at that time have bridges to the mainland. And because of the isolation of those islands, they were able to retain a lot of their African culture heritage. And even today, we see remnants of that very apparent if you were to go on to some of the Sea Island areas. Currently, they're struggling a little bit as it relates to the retention of their culture and heritage, because many of those islands are now known as Hilton Head and Jekyll Island that have a very high tourist industry, and the retention of that culture is eroding, and we want to highlight and bring attention to that.
It really is interesting to think that if it wasn't on an island, we probably wouldn't be talking about it today. It would have dispersed and mingled in with everything else back in the 1700s.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened in the 1950s, they began to build bridges to those islands, and people saw there to be economic opportunities available for them. So they left the islands and went to mainland and Savannah area. So you still see some remnants of the Gullah traditions there in Savannah and Charleston area. People say, well, how do you know it? The language is very distinctive language. They have incorporated some language from the West African culture. They have some very distinguishable arts that are associated with the community, the basket weaving, sweetgrass baskets, which uses the branches of trees there in South Carolina and that grow in the meadow areas. So the basket weaving, the religious practices, and the thing that we enjoy most is the cuisine that has come out of the low country, low country cuisine that has rice as a staple and other seafood.
So what are some of the events that you all will be highlighting this culture?
We have a wonderful array of programs and activities. And one of the things that we do is we sponsor a research tour each year in which we take a group of about 40 students down to participate in a research tour experience. And we are limited. We only are able to invite those students who are involved in our performing arts ensemble. So we want to provide some on-campus opportunities for people to participate and learn more about the Gullah culture. And we'll be kicking that off in September. We have Ron and Natalie Daisy coming to us on Thursday, September the 5th, and they'll be presenting a theatrical presentation called Dream Weaving. They're going to share Gullah stories and Gullah songs, and some of the listening audience may be familiar with Ron and Natalie Daisy. They used to be on PBS and had a children's special, The Gullah Stories. So they'll be sharing that with the campus community. And then we'll also have a film screening of Daughters of the Dust, which is an award-winning film about a Black family that lived on the Sea Islands and the challenges that they faced there. And then we'll have some other complimentary programs in addition to the Gullah focus, in which we'll have guest speakers and performers on campus. So we have something a little bit for everyone, opportunities for people to learn more about the Gullah culture and heritage, and then also some collaborations that we're doing with campus partners.
I know a little bit about Ron Daisy, that he almost didn't know anything about Gullah growing up.
Yes.
It was sort of a hidden culture.
It was. And there's a Penn Center that we'll be visiting, which is the first school in South Carolina that was developed for African Americans. And part of the Penn Center's curriculum was to erase the Gullah culture. They felt that it was an embarrassment because they were speaking at that time what they thought was broken English. Some of their traditions were not Eurocentric, and individuals who founded that school had an erasure of that culture. So now there's a revitalization and an embracement of that culture. And Ron and Natalie just do a phenomenal job in terms of sharing those stories and dramatic interpretations in a very educational and cultural way.
Something I'm looking forward to and excited about, Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson is coming.
Yes, that is a campus-wide partnership. We've partnered with Convocations, School of Liberal Arts, Diversity and Inclusion to invite him to campus as astrophysicist. Many people may have seen him on PBS Nova series, so he's a name that's easily recognizable. And here at Purdue University, with it being a STEM-focused institution, we thought, wow,
perfect
fit.
We're
excited about that.
And the Deeply Rooted Dance Theater has a world premiere. And what's that?
We are thrilled to host Deeply Rooted Dance Theater from Chicago, Illinois. It is an African-American contemporary dance theater. And what they're doing is they're going to spend a week here at Purdue University workshopping their piece sort of as an incubation. And then they're going to do a public performance at Purdue University that will be the world premiere of a piece called Generations 2013. And that particular piece is a five-year project that's being premiered here at Purdue. It will then go up to Chicago and be performed in Chicago, New York City, and travel around the world. We're really thrilled because during their residency here, they'll do some community outreach for us as well. So we'll have some masterclass instruction in which we'll be open to the public, and we're doing some community outreach so not only students but community members can come and participate in an intensive masterclass with members of Deeply Rooted Dance Theater. If you have not yet seen them perform, they are the Alvin Ailey of the Midwest in terms of the quality and caliber of performances that they present. And there's a nice tie with the Black Cultural Center as well, that the founding director of Deeply Rooted Dance Theater is our artist in residence who works with our Johari dance troupe. So we're really thrilled to have this professional company come to Purdue University, premiere a world-class piece that's deeply rooted in the African-American tradition. That'll be coming up October the 30th is the performance date. Tickets are currently available at the box office, and it's only $10, which is a bargain.
Yeah.
When they go to Chicago and New York, I'm sure the tickets will be much more expensive.
And then in November, part of the Cummings Perucci Lecture on Class, Race, and Gender Inequality, there's a featured speaker, Michelle Alexander, discussing her most recent book, I believe it is.
That is correct. She has published a book, The Mass Incarceration as the New Jim Crow. And this is a highly acclaimed publication, has received numerous awards. And it talks about the large number of African Americans who are part of the industrial prison complex and what we can do, and really challenges stereotypes and myths and beliefs. And I think that she's going to give a powerful presentation and really challenge us as an institution of higher learning and how we can play a role to ensure that those numbers, particularly of African American males in prisons, gets reversed.
And she's a respected law professor, correct?
Yes, at our sister institution at Ohio State University.
And that's November on the 14th. We have a link to all of the Black Cultural Center's full lineup on our website, wbaa.org. And of course, you can contact the Black Cultural Center with all your questions. Renee Thomas is the director. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzow.